Now read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from the New Testament, from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Please open your Bibles. Now I'll read. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up your precious name. This week, we thank you, Lord, once again for allowing us the opportunity to gather here before you and to be able to worship you and sing songs of praise to you. We thank you for this opportunity. Dear Lord, we know that you are always with us, and we know that you are aware of all of our needs and that you fulfill them. We thank you for this. Right now in our lives, there's various confusion we may be facing or various tempting things that we may be dealing with. However, Lord, regardless of our circumstances, we know that you are always with us and we are connected with you and we can get wisdom from you. We thank you that you are protecting us in your hands and that we can walk forward in peace in light of this. We're about to hear a message today from Pastor Joey Anjiki, and we are praying that he will be blessed in abundance. Allow us, Lord, to be able to understand the content sufficiently, and allow us as well to be able to share the content with others who are near us in our lives. We thank you for this opportunity with great expectations. Pray in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, everyone. It's wonderful to be able to worship again with you here today. It's perhaps the truth that you've actually heard about this church before. Have you heard of this one? It's called the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. This isn't just like a dream that some kid had yesterday. This is actually a religion that exists in America. They even have their own logo. And the reason why this religion came to pass is that there was Christians versus atheists having this conflict. And in 2005, in Kansas, USA, this is what happened. In America, in the public education system, it doesn't allow teaching to be made about any specific God. Because of this, the children in schools are only allowed to be taught about evolution. So the Christians thought, well, okay, if there can't be any kind of specific God mentioned, we can just talk about some kind of a designer for outer space and have this be like intelligent design and talk about this intelligent designer instead. And in that way, even though there wouldn't be a specific God mentioned, the kids would at least have the concept that there is a designer of God who created this world. However, the atheists were upset about this and fought back. And the atheist by the name, one atheist by the name of Bobby Henderson came up with this Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster religion. And this parody religion teaches that spaghetti created the entire world and the universe. And he was just, it was a parody kind of on the Christian religion. And Henderson said that if you see this spaghetti teaching, you think it's stupid, right? But to think that God created the entire world, that also is ridiculous because it has no scientific basis as well. It's the same as what Christians are teaching. From the eyes of an atheist, you can think, they see that the idea of creation is ridiculous. And you may think so based on today's passage when you think about Jesus Christ's resurrection. You can't think it'd be possible for somebody to be resurrected and think it would be crazy that Christians would believe that this is the truth as well. There is one atheist who said that the Christians believe this in the same way that they would believe unicorns or fairies existed. What do you think, though? If you believe in creation and you believe in Jesus Christ and his resurrection, do you also believe in unicorns and fairies? Do you think that's the same thing? Of course it's different. The reason why is that creation explains about Jesus Christ's resurrection and is based on something that is very clear. You can learn about creation in UCLA here at the church. Today, we're focusing on the proof of Jesus Christ's resurrection. First, let's look a little bit at the background of today's passage. Last time, we were talking about how Jesus died on the cross and how Joseph came with another person to help get Jesus' body. For those two, that was actually the time that they actually professed their faith openly. And Jesus was placed in the tomb that Joseph prepared. And the people who saw this happening were mentioned here in the Bible at the end of verse 15, where it says in verse 47, chapter 15, verse 47, Mary Magdalene and the Mary of mother Joseph saw where he was laid. So why is it that they confirmed where Jesus was placed? Well, it's because after Sabbath ended, they were going to confirm about this. And what was the reason? It's because after Jesus was taken down from the cross, there was only a period of 3 hours for this to take place, for him to be buried, and they may have been concerned of whether he had received a fair burial. That's why in the morning they were going quickly to go see what the situation was. The resurrection of Jesus is actually mentioned in the four Gospels, and the content, when it is mixed together in chronological order, you can see exactly what happened. So amongst these three women, Mary Magdalene is the first one who actually reaches the tomb. The other two, either they were late or perhaps they just were slower in getting there than Mary Magdalene, who was in a rush to get to see where Jesus was laid. So she gets to the tomb and she sees that it's empty. Then she goes to tell Peter and James. That's what's stated here. And when she's going to do this, the two other women come to the tomb. That's what we're looking at here in verses 3 and thereafter. Today, we're looking at the topic of you have indeed been resurrected. And there's four main points we'll be addressing today. Through today's message, I hope that your faith regarding the resurrection will be further strengthened. The first point today is of the proof of Jesus' resurrection was the rolled away tombstone. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb first and then the two others, as I explained. It's likely they were very concerned. And even the concern would be that even though they could get to the tomb, if there was no way to roll away the stone, there'd be no way to see his body. And usually there would be a large tombstone placed in front of the tomb of a weight about 2 tons that would have been impossible for women to move. But they just still decided they would go there anyway to make sure he had a proper burial. When they got there, though, it was very surprising because in verse 4 it states, "But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away." If you're wondering what happened after Jesus was buried, let me explain a bit about that. You can actually refer to the details in the book of Matthew. After Jesus was buried, according to the Bible, it says that the Jewish religious leaders, went to Pilate and they made this request. They said to Pilate, "That guy, Jesus, he said that he's going to be resurrected after 3 days. And so it's likely the disciples are going to want to steal his body and try to say that he was resurrected." So they asked Roman soldiers to be placed in front of Jesus' tomb. Pilate accepted this request, and he sent soldiers to guard the tomb. And that's what's mentioned in Matthew 27:66. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. This seal it's talking about here is something that would have been put on with like wax or something like that, and there would have been a seal imprinted on that when it was hot. And there would have been ropes possibly in this manner as seen on the screen and with the seals in there in possibly 5 different locations. This seal is something that would express the sign of authority of the Roman Empire. If there was somebody trying to mess around with it, they would be immediately put to death. And there was also the risk that if the soldiers let anyone get near it, then the soldiers would have to face the death penalty. There was actually a law stating that this was the case. They had 4 different shifts in shifts of 4 people, so it would have been a total of 16 guards watching Jesus' grave. However, we know that something happened, that an angel showed up and an earthquake occurred and that the huge stone was rolled away. At that time, the seal would have been broken. The soldiers and the guards, what would have happened to them? Well, it seems that they were scared and they just saw what happened and that was all they could do. When the seal was broken, though, they would have had to have told somebody. So they should have gone to Pilate to say what had happened, but they didn't because they knew if they told him that they would be executed immediately. So what the guards did is that they went to the Jewish religious leaders and reported to them what had happened. When the religious leaders heard about that, how do you think they would have responded? Would you think they would have said, "Oh, he really did get resurrected as he said he would. He really is the Messiah. And we need to repent and believe." That's not what happened, though. They were just secure in their disbelief, and they came up with a plan. They told the guards that they were supposed to say that when we were sleeping, the disciples came and stole the Jesus body. So we'll go tell Pilate on your behalf what happened. And so in this way, the guards would not have to lose their lives over what happened, and the Jewish religious leaders would still look good in Pilate's eyes. So they went and told this lie that Jesus' body had been stolen by the disciples. And this is actually still the teaching in Jewish religious faith today, that the disciples came and stole Jesus' body. And this is what happened to Jesus after he was buried. In actuality, the Jewish leaders would have had the guards and the seal in place, but this actually works against them, because if the guards and the seal were not in place, then it would have been easy to prove that the disciples stole Jesus' body, because it would have been like, oh, anybody could have gone in and out of the tomb easily. There was no, you know, seal or soldiers, so it would be actually easier to believe that that was the case. However, because the Jewish leaders had asked that a guard and the seal be put in place and made it impossible so for Jesus' body to be taken away, this actually proves that Jesus was resurrected. If you think about back in the day, you heard what the guards said, that they were sleeping, then you would realize if they were sleeping, then they would have, you know, been put to death. And you would think of 16 of them, that at least one would have noticed that the stone was rolled away. It'd be impossible to think that out of 16 of them, at least one would have noticed. And it seems that they were hiding what was really going on. And then the disciples go to tell the gospel, and that Jesus was resurrected, they would have realized, oh, that has to be the truth. According to the Jewish religious leaders, what they did actually comes to work against them, proving that Jesus truly was resurrected. The second point today of Jesus' resurrection was that the women were witnesses to the resurrection. In today's passage, just talking about women here and how the stone was rolled away. And when they went into the tomb, they see that there was a young man there. This young man here is actually an angel. And if you look at other passages, it actually mentions there were two angels. And one of them here, it says to the women that actually Jesus is not here. He has been resurrected. They tell him to go and tell the disciples in Galilee and say that Jesus is there. The women heard this, and they went immediately to tell the disciples. The disciples, when they heard what they had to say, they reacted in a way you can see in Luke chapter 24, verse 11. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So this is really rude in a sense. So the woman went to tell the disciples, and Mary Magdalene went back to the tomb again. And she actually meets the resurrected Christ. And Mary Magdalene meets the risen Christ. And then they go to tell the disciples. However, the disciples respond in the same way. They can't believe it. Why is it the disciples weren't able to believe what the women were telling them? It's likely that their spiritual eyes were closed. That could be one reason. Another main reason would be that in those days, women had a very low status in society. In the Jewish society in those days, women were considered very weak. And according to the courtroom rules, for example, they couldn't even stand in court. So it's likely the disciples were not willing to believe what these low-standing people in the society were telling them. And they didn't have any credibility, and that's why they didn't want to just believe anything they said. However, the first people to witness this were women. And so this actually is a basis for credibility that it happened. Because if the people writing the Gospels were trying to make this sound even better, they would say that actually men were the first to see that Jesus had been resurrected, because that would sound better. However, they wrote the passage just as it was, stating that it was women. And that's what happened. Why is it that would have been the case? Because that was the truth. They wanted to tell and record the truth just as it was. The resurrected Christ was first met by women, and that is the second proof that it has actually happened. The third aspect of proof is actually the change in the disciples thereafter. At this time, the disciples were able to believe what the women were telling him. But if you read the Bible, you can see that in the end, actually, they did meet the risen Christ and were able to understand that it truly was him. When they met the resurrected Christ, you would wonder, is that in and of itself really true? Well, if you look at what the disciples decided to do after they met the resurrected Christ, you can see that there was a large change. The 12 disciples and what happened to them in the end of their lives, you can see that one was Judas, who betrayed Jesus and committed suicide. But then in place of him, Matthias was added. So there still are a total of 12. And of these, you can see that one had a natural death, which was John. However, he actually faced a lot of persecution in his life before then. Other than him, the 11 others were all killed. They were all martyred. Martyred because they were professing the truth that Jesus was resurrected and that he was the Messiah. Of the 12 disciples, there in the New Testament, it mentions only about James, specifically about his death. However, if you refer to other documents and historical evidence, you can see pretty much what happened to the others. Why is it that they were martyred? Well, if it's true that what is still told in the Jewish religion today, that the disciples stole his body, it would have made them not want to stand up for him. If they were willing to die for something that they had lied about, that sounds really weird. Why, you know, when they had ran away, when he was put on the cross, how is it that they could stand up for him in his place? There's only one reasonable reason why they would stand up for Jesus, and that's that they actually did meet him in a resurrected form after he had died. Today, we've looked at the different aspects of proof of Jesus' resurrection. This is totally something different than believing in fairies or unicorns. In the Bible, it clearly states about how the tombstone was rolled away, the seal was broken, how women came to witness the resurrection first, and how there was a change in the disciples. God allows us today to believe this same truth as well. And when we receive this truth, we can realize that, yes, Jesus was resurrected. The fourth point today is about how the tombstone and a seal were removed. So this tombstone and seal are actually symbols of death. They're things that can't be changed by human form. It's showing like problems that humanity can't resolve on their own. And that's the same as the concept of death. Many people refuse to actually think about their own death. Amongst Japanese people, most people don't even try to think about it. When they think, it's like a taboo topic and they just refuse to mention it. And they think, okay, yeah, death is going to happen, but it's not going to happen now. And so I don't need to worry about it now. That's what many Japanese people think. Why is it that many people realize that death will come at some point, but they don't want to face it? It's because they don't have a clear answer as to what's going to happen after death, and they're very scared and they're very fearful, and they don't want to face that. Amongst you who are here today, have you thought about death? What do you think about it when you think of yourself dying? If you try to imagine that, do you have peace and hope? If you don't, then it's likely you possibly don't have the correct understanding of the gospel. Jesus Christ and his resurrection gives us secure hope. It gives us a hope for what we can have, and that's mentioned clearly in the Bible. For example, in Romans 6:5, it says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. If beyond death we know we have hope for heaven, then our lives here on earth will change dramatically. When we have hope for heaven, we will know that while we are here on earth, we will want to live and do our best until the end. I would like to share one more story and close today. It's a story of Hiroyuki Tsuki, who is a writer. When he was a young boy, he grew up in Fukuoka Prefecture in a small village. There was a time in his village where there was somebody who died, and the people of the village knew that he was dead, and they had to tell the next village over about this. So they asked Itsuki to go do this, and he was a junior high school student at the time, and so he had to go to the next village in the dark at night because that's what time of day it was. And there was actually a very thick and dense forest between his village and this other one. And even in the daytime, it was so dense that going through these trees is very dark. And it would take like 3 to 4 hours, even daytime, to get there. However, at night, it really was dark. And it would take at least twice as much time to get there. And also the roads, the walk space was very narrow. On the right side was a cliff, and then there was a fast flowing stream down below. If he slipped and fell, then he too would die. Itsuki grabbed a lantern and full of fear as he head out for this other village. And he was just trembling as he took one step further toward the next village. However, after a while, he was able to get to this area where he was able to see a little bit. And in the distance, he could see the village that he was headed for and the light that was coming from there. At that time, there was a huge change in his heart. It wasn't that the path he was walking on became wider or that it was any lighter outside, but he could see the light in the distance, and that gave him peace, enabling him to continue to walk forward. Why is it? He saw exactly where he was going, and it was of light. This story can actually tell us something important about our lives. In our lives, we face all kinds of dark things. And we know that death, which is also pitch black darkness, is also in our forward vision. We can be very fearful because of this. However, if we know what is beyond death, and we know that there is the bright hope of heaven beyond that, then even the darkness we face here on earth will have be seen in a different light from our eyes. We do have this hope and certainty from Jesus Christ, and we are able to stand up against anything we have to face because of it. Because there is hope for heaven, our lives in here on earth can be something we can live full of strength in God, and we can have hope regardless of what happens. Amongst you, if there are some of you who don't have hope for heaven, then I encourage you today, right now, to take advantage of it. Please receive the Jesus Christ gift of salvation to you. Based on today's passage, we can remember about Jesus Christ's hope and we can hold on tightly to it. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you again today. Today, we've looked at Jesus Christ's resurrection. We know that for many people, the resurrection is something that they just can't believe. To believe that somebody could be resurrected after death is impossible for many people to understand or believe. However, we are able to believe in this because you have made a way for us to believe, Lord. We know that the Jewish leaders put a tombstone and a seal across the Jesus grave. We also know that women were the first people to go see Jesus' tomb. And we also know how the disciples changed after meeting the resurrected Christ. and know that truly Jesus was resurrected. Because of the resurrection, we know that there is a resolution to our problem of facing death. And when we think about our own deaths, we can realize that we can have faith, we have hope, and we know that we can only have that through you. We ask, Lord, that if there's anyone here today who has not put their faith in Christ, that they will receive that today. We know, Lord, that you will provide them with the ability to believe and that you will give them the hope that's not just a simple thing through their belief and faith in Christ. Allow us, Lord, to have that truth change the way we live our lives. Because we know we are headed, Lord, allow us to be able to face whatever it is that comes our way in our lives, regardless of what we face. Allow us to hold tight to this truth. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to worship you. Pray in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have a time to pray, a moment in silence.